Wait! Don't go with him. Slay the listener within. I crave your holiday, so take me to the latest mini episode of Columbia House Party. Jake, what's up, man?
Not much. That was a good one. I like that. We're out of the trying to sing along singles,
yeah,
which
certainly.
Is good.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to do Max Bemis's voice. And, you know, I had to change the lyrics up a little bit because it's not a very nice opening lyric.
Yeah, that's very fair.
What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good. You know, another day.
Sure is.
It's Columbia House Party single.
Yeah. This is your latest Columbia House Party single. You know the deal by now. Sometimes related to Monday's episode, main episode, sometimes not. In this case, if we discussed, say, anything on Monday, for example, we may want to hear what Max Bemis's collaboration with Chris Conley of Saves the Day is like. So that's what we're going to do today. This is, you know, hopefully this has some appeal for Say Anything fans, for Saves the Day fans, for fans of the general early 2000s pop punk scene that weren't aware that these two bands kind of had a collaboration. I don't know if you'd call it a supergroup or what. For background, though, in 2008, Max Bemis and Kobe Linder of Say Anything, Chris Conley of Saves the Day, and David Soloway, who's formerly of Saves the Day, created what I guess you could call a pop punk supergroup. At this point in time, Say Anything had three albums behind them, and they were working on their 2009 self-titled as a fourth. So they were kind of right at the peak of Say Anything being very good, while Saves the Day had six albums under their belt, were in the midst of a four-year break, and had kind of lost some steam and been going in the wrong direction in terms of momentum and quality of music, I think. Both bands also, you know, fitting the Columbia House Party method, had tons and tons of turnover beyond the lead singer. So it's not all that surprising to see Bemis and Conley want to expand into something new. You know, we talked a lot in the Say Anything episode about Bemis's creativity and experimentation. Given that they were the only stalwarts in their own bands, not surprising that, you know, some stuff they wanted to do wouldn't fit within what their normal bands were. This came apart, by the way. Bemis and Conley had covered Bob Dylan's The Man and Me for a Doghouse Records collaboration 2 years prior, and they then decided to do an album together, with Conley telling Vagrant that Bemis is the only person he'd do a collaboration like this with. They decided to call that Two Tongues because, you know, two lead singers from popular bands. Makes sense. Jake, I guess my biggest question for you before we get into one of the songs is, did you have any idea in the 2009-ish time that Say Anything and Saves the Day had a supergroup between them?
I absolutely did not. I think that was also partly because, like, in 2009, pop punk was still my quiet shame, to use a bad term, as we've discussed many times. But I feel like a few years back, when I got real heavy back into Say Anything, that was the first time this popped up in my radar, but I'm not sure I actually went and listened to it. It was just a thing that I knew existed.
Yeah, I will be completely honest, I had no idea until I was prepping for our Say Anything episode and I came across it. You know, I like Say Anything, and like I've said on the last episode, you know, Saves the Day is a band that I will still check out when they release new music. Mm-hmm. Say Anything is. Saves the Day is not. You know, I really only still go back to those two Saves the Day albums, and I wasn't, by 2009, I was not keeping up with what they were doing particularly well. So it was new to me when I fired up Crawl by Two Tongues.
Your holiday.
you think, Jake?
It's fine. I really wanted to like it a lot more than I did. I think I didn't dislike it by any means, but I think, you know, Bemis sort of going back to a louder emo sound and with the talent on board that is, I think I was expecting it to be one of those things that was like an undiscovered gem that I couldn't wait to go back to, but it's fine. I don't think it's bad. But it's just,
yeah,
it's not as good as I was expecting or hoping, I think.
Yeah, like I'm a fan of the way their voices play off each other. And I think obviously that's the idea and that's the strength of this Two Tongues project. By the way, that song Crawl was off a self-titled they released in 2009 that, you know, Crawl is the one that I picked here because I think it gives you the best idea of what they were going for and what that sound was like.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Their voices play well together, but like you feel, it's a little underwhelming. And it also includes, you know, the same thing we run into fairly often on this podcast of going back and the lyrics are just, really? And like the fact that this came out in 2009 and not like 2003 makes it a little less cool. I don't know. Cool is not the word, but just a little more uncomfortable. But yeah, I mean, I guess it was just like, it was a little underwhelming is probably the way to put it, given where your expectations would have been. And that's something we're going to talk about in a little bit about just expectations in general for a supergroup like this. Just to cover off the album, it was originally scheduled to be released in the summer of 2008, but got bumped to February 2009. It was released via Vagrant, and it had been self-produced by the members themselves in California. It also included each person covering one of the other songs. So Bemis did a Third Engine cover and Conley did a Every Man Has a Molly cover, as well as them together doing a Ween cover. It was received well enough. Alternative Press gave it a 4.5 out of 5. Punk News and Spin both gave it a 3.5 out of 5. The best review of it I think I saw was Megan Ritt of Consequences of Sound, who wrote, "Their combined musical effort is definitely different, but also inspiring. The band employs a styles that fans of either group will find comfortable while using each member's individual talents to their best advantage. Bemis's freshly earnest vocals provide a clean, wide swath of punk angst, onto which Conley adds his uniquely nasal twist in all of its full whiny glory." She concludes that the result is something larger than either of them alone. I would argue that in this case, the whole is less than the sum of the parts. But I do, her, the way she captures, you know, the way the voices play together is, I think, fairly accurate.
I think it's interesting Megan Ritt gave it such a positive review, because in 2012, she would review See Anything's 2012 record, Anarchy, My Dear, and give it an F, and she hated it. So it's, I think it's interesting that she's a fan and likes it, but that's how little she thought of Anarchy, My Dear.
Yeah, which that's another episode. This came out in 2009. In 2010, Say Anything, Saves the Day, and Motion City Soundtrack were all touring together. Bemis had contributed vocals to Motion City Soundtrack in the past as well, so cool little tour there. And there were surprise Two Tongues performances in the middle of Say Anything sets on that tour. In 2012, they announced there would be a second album, but that didn't come until 2016. It was called Two Tongues 2 Electric Boogaloo, which, you know, it was a bit more experimental, but it I didn't even think it was as good as the first one. And, you know, they lost any real momentum when the tour they had planned was subsequently canceled. And the band, I guess, is now presumed dormant because there hasn't been any news on them since then. Jake, we're going to talk about supergroups in general and wrap up on Two Tongues after this. All right. So, Jake, I guess, you know, that last segment there was a lot of what we felt about the actual product relative to our expectations. And I'm curious as to your thoughts on whether that's something that supergroups can avoid, or whether that's kind of the burden of, you know, whether you brand yourself as a supergroup or not. You know, that's just kind of what you carry by merging the fans and expectations of multiple groups together.
Yeah, I'm generally in favor of supergroups. I don't think they always work, because I think your point is correct that a lot of the times, like, not every band is a singular vision, but a lot of bands are singular visions. And when you take two guys or two girls or two or more than two or whomever, however many, that was a clumsy sentence. When you take people who are singular artists and put them together. Sometimes those visions don't always mesh as well. I think there are exceptions, and I think sometimes the styles go really well. Like, I can think of, you know, I really like Them Crooked Vultures, which was Josh Homme and John Paul Jones and Dave Grohl, which is not usually the type of music I like, but I really like that band. I think there's there's countless supergroups that
Boy Genius is probably my favorite recent example.
That, again, another one whose styles go really well together. Yeah. You could technically say the New Pornographers are a supergroup, even though they're sort of past that point now. But yeah. I think that I'm for them in general. I'm for anyone forming whatever band they want, really. And then, but I do think that supergroups come in with an air of expectation that might be harder to meet than other bands. And whether that's because of expectation from fans or just like having, like, there's no way a supergroup cannot be compared to their own work. Right. And I think that puts you at a disadvantage immediately. And therefore the material has to be really good, or else everyone's just going to say, well, I'd rather just listen to their band.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I mentioned Boy Genius, which is Phoebe Bridgers, Lucy Dacus, and Julian Baker, and it was excellent. But then you look at A Better Oblivion Community Center, which is Phoebe Bridgers and Conor Oberst, two artists that we both really like, and that one doesn't hit quite as well. That's something we're actually going to talk about in some upcoming episodes as well. So, you know, it's tough. And I, you know, in reading reviews of Two Tongues, I came across one from Sputnik Music in 2009, and a user named Athom, A-T-H-O-M, wrote, "Hard as I try not to get sucked into the internet hype machine, sometimes it's impossible, especially when it comes to Max Bemis. Unfortunately, Two Tongues follows the same path as Saves the Day's career, a strong first half that worsens as it goes along. If Two Tongues was released as an EP, then it probably would have lived up to the mass hype surrounding it, but as an album, it is driven down by too much filler and a lack of energy." I would add to that the novelty kind of wears off, where the first four or five songs, you're like, this is cool, I like the way their voices play off each other. And then, you know, to his point about maybe it's a better EP, I think when you get to the back half of the album, it just kind of drags isn't the right word, but it's just like, maybe again, this is me coming back to it 11 years later as a fan of Saves the Day and Say Anything separately. You know, it wasn't quite what I was hoping for. And I just didn't have a stamina for listening to the whole thing, you know, really more than once.
Yeah. And I think that can happen with supergroups because, you know, it's not their main project. So maybe the motivation isn't there. And I think the best supergroups are the ones that are treated as entirely separate bands that are just as to the forefront of these people's careers as their own projects. I think Boy Genius is a good example. New Pornographers, also a good example, that now has, other than Nico Case and maybe Destroyer, has definitely overtaken all of their own personal projects as like a main thing that tours and releases albums on a normal schedule and all that. So I think that might be part of it, where if it's just a one-off because you want to make an album with your buddy, which I think is great, and like do it because it's fun. But I can see how that momentum and that oomph that a lot of the best albums have wouldn't have that behind it.
Well said, Jake. I think that's a good enough point to leave off. This has been your latest Columbia House Party single. Please continue to follow along, rate, subscribe, all that good stuff. Patreon.com/Columbia House Party. If you are so inclined to support us there, join us in the Discord, get mailbags, bonus episodes, things like that. Jake, thanks so much, buddy.
You too, man.